The Holy Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter. Jesus answered Judas, not Iscariot, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but it is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I want to share with you this morning an old Yiddish tale that's a favorite in my family. It's the story of a poor man who lived with his wife and his six children in a very, very small one-room house. There was so little space in the house that they could hardly breathe, and finally the man could stand it no more. He talked to his wife and he asked her what to do. "Go see the rabbi," she told him. So he went. The rabbi greeted him, and the poor man told the rabbi how miserable things were at home. His wife and his six children all eating and living and sleeping in the same room. The poor man told the rabbi, "Life could not be worse." The rabbi thought very deeply and then said, "Do exactly as I tell you, and things will get better. Do you promise?" "I promise," said the poor man. The rabbi then asked the poor man, "Do you own any animals?" "Yes," he said, "I have one cow, one goat, and some chickens." "Good," said the rabbi. "When you get home, take all of the animals into the house to live with you." The poor man was shocked to hear this advice, but he had promised to do exactly as the rabbi said. So he went home, took all the farm animals into the tiny one-room house. The next day, the man came back to see the rabbi. "What have you done to me, rabbi?" he cried. "It's awful. I did as you suggested, and it's even worse." The rabbi listened and said, "Now go home and take the chickens back outside." So the poor man did, as the rabbi said, but he hurried back again the next day. "The chickens are gone, but the goat is smashing up all the furniture and eating everything in sight." The rabbi said, "Go home, remove the goat, and may God bless you." So the poor man went home, and he took the goat outside. But he ran back again to see the rabbi shouting, "What a nightmare! With a cow in the house, it's like living in a stable." The rabbi said, "My friend, you are right. May God bless you. Go home now and take the cow out of your house." So the poor man went quickly home and took the cow out of his house. The next day, he came running back again to the rabbi. "Oh, rabbi," he said with such a big smile on his face, "we have such a good life now. The animals are all out of the house. The house is so quiet, and we have room to spare." What a joy. The rabbi didn't tell the man to go get another job so he could build an extra room. The rabbi didn't give the man money from the church coffers, didn't offer to find bunk beds so that the children could be stacked more efficiently, didn't even pray for the man and his family that they might find peace amid their chaos. Instead, there were unexpected results. Things didn't happen the way they expected. Just prior to our first reading from the book of Acts today, Paul and his companions, Silas and Timothy, seem to be stumbling around just a bit. They're trying to figure out what to do next with the gospel. There's some hesitation and some meandering. The Holy Spirit even blocks their path to both Asia and Bithynia. And then finally, at the beginning of our text today, Paul and his friends have a vision that they can grab onto. They feel like they have a sure direction now to go. In their vision, they see a man of Macedonia pleading with them and urging them to come and help. They're convinced the vision is God calling them to proclaim the good news to the men in Macedonia. So Paul wastes no time and immediately runs to the city. But then they wait. And they wait. And they wait. They wait for what they are expecting. A man with whom to share the gospel with. But that's not what happens. Perhaps odd and even wonderful, it's a woman from Thyatira in Asia where the Holy Spirit had forbidden Paul to go. It's the woman Lydia who meets them and they share the gospel. It's a woman, a worshiper of God, whose heart was open to hear the gospel spoken by Paul. Then she and everyone in her household are baptized. The first convert in Macedonia is not the expected man, but a foreign woman named Lydia from Asia. Paul was searching for a man, expecting to find a man, but found God had been calling him to find a woman, to spread the gospel to a woman, to baptize her household. God's mission isn't limited by our expectations. Unexpected results. Things didn't happen the way Paul thought they would. God is in control yet again. Friday morning, before the sun rises, Linda Harold, Alan Boda, and I will travel to Chattanooga, Tennessee, to attend the ELCA Southeastern Synod Assembly. Over the course of 3 days, congregations, pastors, and other rostered leaders will do the business of the synod, which includes voting to elect a new bishop. As I've mentioned, it's a big deal to get a new bishop. A new bishop who will lead the synod into the next 6 years of ministry. A bishop who will discern God's call for our four-state synod and provide guidance to congregations and leadership for pastors and those called into ministry. As we head into this election, though, this synod is a bit restless. Over the past 6 years, actually 12 years, while Bishop Gordy has been in place, life has happened and time has passed. Many of those who expected to be candidates in this election will no longer likely be candidates. There seems to be no clear candidate, also perhaps not even a clear slate of candidates. This means that the slate of candidates will be different. There will be surprises. There will be possibilities previously unimagined. Like Paul, the synod may be expecting one type of person, but God may send us another. How many times do we expect one solution? A lot of times, very well defined, too. But one solution only to be given another. How many times do we absolutely know what we need? But God knows better. How often are our prayers answered in ways that we never even dreamed? God doesn't work within our boundaries. God doesn't work to meet our expectations. Instead, God calls us to be open to surprises, to possibilities, to things and people we never imagined. God sets the direction, getting Paul to the place where he would meet Lydia, guiding the synod to consider candidates for bishop who were previously unimagined, calling Faith Lutheran into new and uncharted territory, opening our hearts to see different people, different paths, and different plans. God is in charge, and that's the good news today. When things are not as we expect, it is then Jesus says to us, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. Trust in me. I've got this." Amen.